Hello and welcome to Elephate in the Room, Elephate's weekly podcast. I am Derek Caribou, your host, and joining me in the room today is Greg Gifford, who is the Vice President of Search at DeLaron Incorporated. He is all about local SEO, internet marketing, web design, and photography. In this episode, we find out about his Polish doppelganger, the item he tends to purchase online whilst a little bit drunk, and of course, his favorite punk rock, Greg. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Elephate in the Room with Greg and Derek. Greg, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
So I am Greg Gifford. I am the Vice President of Search for DeLaron. I'm basically a local SEO guy. I've been doing local SEO for about 12 years, and I've been speaking at conferences for the past 6 or 7 years. And the last few years, I've kind of started speaking a lot more internationally, so that's been pretty cool, and it's gotten a lot more people interested in local SEO, which is awesome.
We'll talk a little bit about local SEO after the first part here. We're going to get started just to get to know each other a little bit better.
Sure.
My first question for you is, who is your celebrity nemesis?
My celebrity nemesis. Wow. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is your celebrity nemesis. Why T-Swift?
Because my little girl has figured out that anytime in just about any room in the house, she can talk to the Google Home and get Google Home to play Taylor Swift. So it's a constant battle of walking into a room and Taylor Swift is playing. And it's just, you know, and unfortunately, while there are some pretty decent Taylor Swift songs, but my little girl likes all the ones that I feel like are super annoying. So I would say if I had to choose one, it would definitely be her, because it's always like walking into a room going, no, Google, stop.
Well, looking with dread, let's say, because I have a 1.5-year-old girl. So I know that if not specifically that particular artist, somebody just like her is looming dangerously in my future.
Yeah. I took my little girl to the Taylor Swift concert about a month ago, and it was crazy how many of the songs I knew just because she's always playing them in the house, but it was the cutest thing watching her sing along to all the songs. So,
I bet. That has to make it at least a little bit worth it.
Yeah, it was a little bit bearable just to watch her, you know, freak out to see her live and then sing along with every song.
Moving on here, what is it like having a Polish doppelganger?
I know, right? It's the craziest thing, because so many people, like even I wish I could remember who it was, but I sat down at the U.S. Search Awards at PubCon last month, and even though it's got a name tag sitting on my plate that says Greg Gifford, the guy sits down next to me and was completely serious. He wasn't joking. Guy sits down next to me. He's like, hey, you're Bartosz. I haven't met you before. And I'm like, no. It's been really kind of fun for the last few years, because especially as I started speaking more in Europe and made friends with more people on the European speaking circuit, it's been fun to watch Facebook get really confused and mistag me as him or him as me in different various photos. So it's been fun. And I don't know if you heard, but at Ungagged in Vegas a few weeks back, we did a kind of a little prank thing. And so I was one of the opening keynotes, and he came up and pretended to be me. And then I came out dressed up like Jason Voorhees and murdered him on stage. It was pretty fun.
Christian did tell me about that. Then I heard that you proceeded to do the rest of the talk in the Jason mask.
Yeah, that was a bad call. So, I always do themed decks, so my backgrounds of my slides are always movies, because I was a movie, I've just always been a movie nut. I was a movie major in college, and I've got movie tattoos, and so I just always have some sort of a theme. And so this time I did horror movies, and for Ungagged last year in Vegas, I did 80s movies, and I dressed up like an 80s rock star. And so this time I thought it would be cool to dress up like Jason Voorhees, and I had a full head rubber mask and then the hockey mask on top of it, and I thought it would be really cool, and it looked amazing, but I really misjudged how hot it would be on stage. So like the last 5 minutes of the presentation, I couldn't even see out of my left eye because I was sweating so bad, and I couldn't get in there because I had, you know, basically double mask over my face, so I couldn't get in to rub the sweat out of my eyes. So it was pretty bad. For the first 5 minutes, I thought I was going to pass out because I couldn't breathe well. So yeah, it was rough.
That sounds a little bit rough, but hopefully at least the visuals of it worked out for everybody.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And for the handful of people out there who may not know, so the CEO of Elephate, of my company, looks exactly like our guest here today. So that's what we're talking about.
So in London this summer, actually, I gave him my iPhone and then had him put my glasses on just to make sure it was as close as possible to see if he could use the facial unlock feature on my phone. And iPhone's facial feature did not work for him. So at least we're different enough that Apple's facial recognition is better than Facebook's.
Well, there you go. Something to be, they should use that in their advertising.
Right.
Potential there for you guys. Which movie do you quote the most?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that there's one that I quote more than another. It kind of just depends on what the conversation is. But I would say probably more than anything, it would probably be the movie They Live with the awesome Roddy Piper, because I have it tattooed on my arm. So I have Roddy Piper tattooed on my arm. And the movie quote from that movie is, "I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum." So I also have a piece of double bubble with the kind of like the Ghostbusters red circle with the diagonal line. So that's right on the front of my arm. So people always say, "What, do you just not like bubble gum?" And then I have to say, "No, it's because of the movie quote." And so I probably say that quote more than anything else.
All right. Well, my next question was what was your favorite quote? And you beat me to it.
That's definitely my favorite quote.
But that would explain the tattoo. I guess you're not going to go tattoo yourself with your third favorite quote. Just makes sense. If you could live the previous 7 days over again, what would you do differently?
Oh, man. That's a really good question, because I was at Disney World. So I would say what I would have done differently is I would have done Hollywood Studios on the first day of our Disney trip instead of the last day of our Disney trip, because everybody was really burned out at that point. And my oldest kid was sick and my wife was starting to get sick. And so it just wasn't the best day. And it would have been more fun to do all the Star Wars stuff on day one. I also would have gotten up earlier on a couple of days. So they have a thing called magic hours where if you're staying in one of the Disney hotels, you can have extra time in the park beyond what the normal park hours were. So one morning we had magic hours from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock a.m. And that was the one where they had all the stuff from Avatar. And we didn't get to the gate until 7 o'clock because we just assumed, hey, they're not going to open the gate till 7. They actually opened the gate way earlier. So if we'd have been there earlier, we could have saved the 2 hours that we had to wait in line for the Avatar ride.
Okay. Excellent answer there. If you were a professional wrestler, what would your walk-in music be?
Oh, man. I would definitely use the song Stand Up and Shout from the movie Rockstar with Marky Mark.
A good friend of mine loves that movie because he's a huge fan of 80s metal. That's almost exclusively what he listens to.
Yeah.
And he loves that movie, which I don't understand, because I think that movie is mocking him. It's not celebrating him. That's what I maintain. But he disagrees.
Oh, I'm in his camp for sure. I love that movie.
All right. How wrong was Bruce Willis when he said that Die Hard was not a Christmas movie, on a scale from children mispronouncing their R's to Cersei and Jaime Lannister's relationship?
Probably more on the Cersei-Jaime level. I actually have a Die Hard tattoo on my arm, so I'm a big fan of the Die Hard movie, and it is definitely a Christmas movie.
I do my research, my friend. That's why this question is here. What was your first concert?
Oh, I'm going to lose so many cool points on this one. Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow was my first concert. I was in fourth grade.
I have actually seen Barry Manilow live in concert. It was not my first. My first concert was Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses. So I get to keep those cool points.
Yeah.
But I saw Barry Manilow sometime in the mid to late 90s with some friends. He was at one of those kind of hoity-toity places in Tampa, and they had box tickets there or something, so we went and saw Barry Manilow. I share a birthday with Barry Manilow.
Really?
So, yeah.
But yeah, I tagged along with my parents because they were massive Barry Manilow fans, and this was like either 1980 or 1981, so we saw him, and it was a whole crazy big to-do, so yeah.
Yeah, that would have been when he was pretty huge at that point, right?
It was a massive, huge stadium concert.
Hopefully your friends won't judge you too harshly.
All the people that are watching this are clicking over and unfollowing me on Twitter.
All right. And our final icebreaker question for the day. If you were crowned king of your workplace, what would be your first pronouncement?
I already am king of my workplace. So
what was your first pronouncement?
Jeez. I would make... Oh, man. This is going to make me sound like a jerk, but I would make all the millennials in my office watch a bunch of movies. So we would have Friday movie day, because I can't tell you how many times I make a movie reference or a movie joke and it just goes right over their heads. So we'd have movie education Fridays.
That's a good one. I like that. They can bring their little craft beers. You guys can watch some good movies. Have a good time. It'd be fun. So I wanted to talk a bit more about your role here at Search. There are a lot of the people who do SEO that I've talked to on this podcast have been more about international SEO or other types of stuff. I think you're one of the first we've spoken to who really specifically works with local SEO. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that? How did you get involved with that? What are some of the different challenges that you specifically face?
Well, I actually started off in SEO as a black hat because way back in the day, I did flash websites and they didn't show up in Google because there was nothing to index. So we did some nefarious cloaking stuff that we didn't know was nefarious to get our sites to show up. And then I ended up leaving and going to work or looking for another job, another flash gig. And it was down to Match.com or this automotive company. And I ended up really liking the guys at the automotive place. So I went there and pretty quickly, like within 6 months, was running their whole marketing department. And that's when I was like, oh, wow. Now that I'm reading more about this SEO stuff, the stuff I was doing was really, really against the rules, and got into more legitimate SEO. And that was, gosh, 12 years ago at this point-ish. And I realized at the time that a lot of people don't realize Google has multiple algorithms. And for certain types of businesses, Google uses that local algorithm and it uses it for car dealers. And so I really got into local at that point. And I've just kind of stuck in automotive ever since and just become, you know, a big local SEO guy. And it's been really cool to see how things have changed. And local for a long time has always been really niche. So at a lot of the conferences, I mean, I know a lot of European conferences are just now starting to have stuff about local SEO, but even in the States, you'd be lucky to have one session on local SEO, if any. And for a long time, SMX didn't even have sessions on local SEO. And now, as mobile search has kind of blown up and voice searches or voice assisted search has started to happen, mobile has kind of come more to the forefront. And a lot of people are like, oh, wow, this local stuff is really important. So now we're all kind of, those of us that have been doing it for a long time feel a bit vindicated because we're like, hey, we're not in the fringes anymore. Now people actually think we're legitimate.
So you've gone mainstream. You've sold out.
Yeah, we've sold out.
And what are some of the specific issues that surround local search, or what are some of the ways that it's different?
Well, proximity plays a big factor. So with regular SEO, you're typically dealing with something that, you know, it's an e-commerce site or it's a national business. So you're trying to show up whenever anybody's searching for those particular keywords. But with local SEO, you're trying to show up in a very constrained geographic area. So, you know, if I was the best local SEO practitioner in the entire world and I was working at a pizza place in Dallas, Texas, that doesn't mean that somebody in New York that's looking for a place to get a pizza would be served up my pizza place, because obviously you need it something local. So The proximity factor is an issue, and there's just different elements that Google's looking at. So you've got citations used to be way more powerful, the mentions of name, address, phone number on other sites. It's become more just kind of table stakes now, but you still have to get that right. All the stuff on Google My Business is hugely important. You've got to have the local relevancy. When you're building links, you have to build links from businesses or websites that are geographically near to your location. So it's just a whole different focus on every element. And there's still, you know, you're still writing great content. You're still building links. You're still doing all the stuff that you're doing with traditional SEO. It's just with a different focus on the tactics there. And reviews play a big part in things. So you have to do reputation management. So it's you're doing regular SEO with just a completely different focus on each of the tasks that you're doing.
And I know also being in the car industry, you know, when you're trying to sell something that's like one thing, or I don't know what kind of car sales that you guys actually do, I would imagine, especially if you're doing something like with used car sales, it's going to go a lot quicker. Like obviously if you're selling pizza, you're not selling a pizza. You're not trying to get rid of this one pizza to somebody local, you know, but if you're trying to sell specific cars.
Well, and that's another big factor in the fact that I've decided to kind of focus and specialize in automotive, because, you know, people only buy a car a couple of times in their lifetime, typically, and you're only buying a car every, you know, 5 to 7 years. So it's not like you just need to show up for pizza and people are going to buy a pizza. You've got to show up for, you know, used cars. You've got to show up for service. You've got to show up for all this. And you have to have better content, because that person that's going to buy a car isn't going to sit down and do a Google search and buy a car from the first dealership they find, because there's so many factors that go into it. You know, do you have a family? Are you going to have a family? You know, do you need a pickup? Do you need an SUV? What type of car do you want to get? What brand do you want to get? And then once you've moved through that, then it's a question of, okay, I know what I want to buy. Where do I want to buy from? And that's when all the reviews and the reputation and the content on the site to get across the personality of the dealership comes into play. So it's a pretty complicated ecosystem within automotive.
Oh yeah, sure. I bet. Obviously some people love the whole process of buying a car. I think people like having cars more than they like trying to go out and buy a car.
Oh yeah.
It's so fraught with so many different things. And, you know, I don't know if it's the same in Europe. I've never tried to buy a car here, but just the reputation of, you know, car salesmen.
Yeah. You have to overcome that stereotype because everybody comes in already on, you know, defensive mode because you just assume this guy's going to try to screw me over. And this guy's, you know, he's a snake oil salesman. And, you know, sure, there's guys out there that are shysters, but the majority of car dealers are great people and they're out there to really try to help you get a great deal on your car. But unfortunately, that negative stereotype still persists. So that's a lot of what you have to overcome too. So you've got to have the cool stuff on social media. You got to have the good reviews. You got to have the great stuff on the site beyond what you're doing for SEO to make sure that you're still going to be able to convert people.
Exactly. Sounds like a pretty big challenge. I wish you the best of luck with that going forward.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to move on now to round two. And this is a mean round of have you ever.
Okay.
Now, of course, you're allowed to play the drinking game at home. I can't see you. I don't know what's going on. I know it's early in the morning over there, but you know, it's Friday. Are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Have you ever eaten a deep fried candy bar?
Yes, I have. On more than one occasion.
Are you a fan of the deep fried candy bar?
A deep fried Snickers is absolutely delicious. I had a deep fried Mounds one time. It was not good. I had a deep fried Twix, was also not good. What was the other one I had? I don't remember. I've had several, but the only one I really like is the deep fried Snickers.
I haven't had any of those, so I haven't tried the deep fried candy bar, but if I do...
If you have the opportunity to get a deep fried Snickers, it's absolutely amazing.
I will take that in mind. Thank you. Have you ever had someone slap you in the face?
Not that I can remember. I don't think so.
Don't think so. All right, well, good. Have you ever stolen something from a restaurant?
Yes, I have.
Okay, what did you steal from a restaurant?
So, I was the mascot for SMU.
Okay.
And one year for cheerleading camp, we had a scavenger hunt that we had to do, and we had a list of various things that we had to go around and procure. And one of the things was, there's a very iconic restaurant in Dallas called Snuffers that has the best cheese fries in the whole world. And one of the things you had to do was you had to get a Snuffers menu. So I stole a Snuffers menu.
Okay. And you even mentioned the name of the restaurant. I'm sure you'll be hearing from their attorneys after this goes live.
Right. But they're like, we've been looking for the menu thief for 20 years and we finally caught you.
There's been a break in the case, boys. Have you ever made an impulse purchase online while drunk?
Yeah, I like kitschy t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And I have made some t-shirt purchases late night that I maybe should not have made. I mean, they're not bad shirts or anything, but it's just like, you get the shirt and you're like, do I really need that shirt?
Mm. Can you think of one?
I have an F-bomb t-shirt where it's like a bomb with an F on it. Some of them I bought are actually really cool. So I have one that's the front of the shirt is all the different James Bond movies, but it's like some sort of graphical symbol to represent what the title is. So that one's actually a pretty cool one. I got one that's a kind of a cute cartoon drawing of an alien face hugger. And it's got a little heart. It's got a little thought bubble coming out with a heart in it that says, I heart your face. That one's kind of funny. But that was one of those where it showed up and I was like, wow, I don't remember ordering this one.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had a friend who shared your birthday?
I actually have. So back in the day, right out of college, I waited tables and bartended at a brew pub in Dallas. And there was a core of six of us that had birthdays all in the same week. So we would have a massive birthday party every year because it was basically six people's groups of friends. And one of the other people had the same birthday as me.
Wow. Six people in the same week. That is insane.
It was actually six people's birthdays in the span of 5 days.
That sounds like they probably would have been some pretty good parties, though.
They were pretty epic, yeah.
A couple of great t-shirts must have come in the mail just, you know, a few days. Have you ever thrown up on an airplane or a boat?
Have I ever thrown up? Definitely not on an airplane. I don't think I got really close to throwing up on a boat a couple of years ago, but I typically don't get seasick. But we were going out to swim with whale sharks off the coast of Mexico. Uh-huh. And they offered Dramamine to everyone. I said, oh, I don't get seasick. I don't need it. And they were like, okay, well, it's really choppy out there. I'm like, ah, it's fine. What I didn't realize was in that small boat sitting still, I got kind of seasick and I felt like I was going to throw up. So I just jumped in the water. And once I got in the water, it went away. So I didn't actually throw up, but I got really close.
No, so no issues with motion sickness in general.
Nah.
Have you ever had an imaginary friend?
Nope.
Our final one for Have you ever called your partner by the wrong name?
I have not, luckily.
Okay, so not necessarily your wife, but like at any time. Like, have you ever called a past girlfriend, assuming, you know, that you've had one, by the wrong name? That's never happened?
Nope, never happened.
Never happened. Okay, thank you very much. That's a nice end to the round two. I'd like to talk a little bit more about public speaking. A lot of the people that I do talk to on this podcast do some public speaking here about this in this particular industry, and I was just curious about how you got involved in the public speaking aspect of SEO.
So I started speaking at automotive conferences first, just because the company that I worked for was in automotive. And real shortly thereafter, I started attending SEO conferences, and I saw a lot of just really blah speakers that I was not impressed with. And I've always been the kind of, I guess, class clownish type, you know, person. I've never had a problem speaking in front of a group. And I was watching these people and I was like, A, these guys are like super boring to watch as presenters. And B, it's like they're just spouting off whatever they read on Search Engine Land last week. And it's not really anything actionable. And I said, I could do better. And so I started speaking, quickly kind of became a popular speaker just due to my kind of off the wall style. And so it kind of just took off after that. And then once I started doing, I got invited to do Brighton SEO 4.5-5 years ago. And that's when I kind of broke into the international circuit and started doing more international stuff because people saw me there.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that you tend to do a theme. So you did like 80s music, or sorry, 80s movies, and then you did the horror films. Now, was that something that you came up with early on? Is that something you've always been doing?
Yeah, from the very beginning, the first couple things I did in automotive, I didn't do the movie thing, but I did really cool visuals. And then once I decided I wanted to start trying to speak at search conferences, I knew that I kind of approached it from an analytic standpoint of, I know I can be a better speaker than these guys, but how do I get noticed and how do I get invited back? So I knew that I needed to provide really awesome, actionable info and not just high level, hey, you should do SEO because it's important type crap. And then I also knew I needed to stand out. So that's when I said, well, hey, I can kind of use my love of movies, you know, have some cool movie stuff in there. Because I also knew that at a lot of conferences, you end up with people in the room that either are at the same level of knowledge as the speaker or beyond, or people that end up in the room, especially if it's a one-track conference where they don't do whatever it is that you're talking about. And instead of having them zone out, if I can be entertaining, at least they're still going to watch. And then that way you get great speaker reviews and the conferences want to have you back. So originally I wasn't really doing themes. I was just doing movies. So it was just different random movies that I liked or that I could make jokes about. Pretty quickly within the first year, I came up with the idea of doing a specific theme. And so I started doing the theme thing and it was great. It got me noticed. It's a fun style. It's fun for me to do because I love movies, but people enjoy watching it. Unfortunately, it's kind of backed me into now it's expected. And it takes a long time to do my decks because each slide is actually an entire JPEG that I make in Photoshop. So it takes quite a while to make my slides now. I'm kind of stuck with it because it's kind of my calling card at this point.
Now, when you do this, are you tailoring things around, let's say, just like any movie, depending on what you need for that particular slide, or do you just go with like, this particular movie or this particular genre? What's generally your approach to these themes?
Well, so when I do the themes, another thing that I backed myself into a long time ago was that I committed to never reusing slides. So every presentation I do at every conference is unique to that conference. Uh-huh. Now, the content might be the same, but the slides will be different. And I will reuse a theme, but not at the same conference. So for instance, if I've used comedy movies at Brighton SEO
I'll never do comedy movies at Brighton SEO again, but I might do comedy movies at PubCon or SMX or something like that.
Okay.
So I first decide what my theme is going to be for that particular conference. And if it's one that I've used before, then a lot of the work is already done. But if it's one that I haven't done before, I have to first sit down and make a list of every movie. Oh, another part of my whole thing is that I include at least one movie for every year in the last 50 years for whatever the theme is. So I have to sit down and make a list of every movie that fits that theme for the last 50 years. And then after I've got that list, I have to go to Google Image Search and find screen captures of all of the movies. And as I'm doing that, I notice the ones that I can use as jokes, or there's a phone in that particular, you know, movie scene. I know that if I'm talking about a local phone number, that's the movie clip that I'd want to use there. That I always have the title slide, and then a bio slide, and then a slide about bullet points killing kittens. And then I have anywhere from 5 to 10 slides that are just kind of an intro section where there's no text and I'm just kind of making jokes. Like I'll say, hey, do you feel clueless about SEO, and show a slide from Clueless or something like that. And then I get into the presentation and typically go chronologically, unless there's like something where I need to talk about, a local phone number. I'll have somebody talking on the phone. Or one of the examples that I use to explain how the local algorithm works is using a pizza delivery example. So I'll, you know, if it's a comedy movie, I'll have the shot from Wayne's World where he's holding up the Pizza Hut slice of pizza. So I try to tie in a lot of subtle things throughout the deck where what's going on in that particular screenshot happens to sort of match to what I'm talking about. So I put a lot of work into the decks to tie that stuff in. And it's always cool when afterwards people come up and they're like, I don't think anybody got it, but I noticed this. And I'm like, yes, that was there on purpose.
That's got to be pretty satisfying when that happens.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to do an entire presentation using just one film?
Yeah, What have I done? I did all Matrix one time. I think so far the only one I've ever done where it was just one movie was all stuff from The Matrix.
Obviously fits into some of the themes that you're working on anyway, so that's cool. So looking forward to hearing more about that. Maybe one of these days I'll be at a conference and I'll catch it in person.
That'd be awesome.
So we're going to move on to our third and final round. This is the Elephate Lightning Round. I'm going to give you two choices. You got to choose one. If you would like to talk a little bit more about it, you may. If not, we'll just move on to the next one. Are you ready?
All right, let's do it.
Bowling or mini golf?
Oh, man, I have to choose one?
Just one.
Am I solo or am I with friends?
We'll say you're with friends.
I would probably go with mini golf.
Mini golf, okay. Your preferred SMU alum, Powers Booth or Kathy Bates?
Oh, Kathy Bates.
A particular favorite role for Kathy?
Man, I really liked her in the American Horror Story Coven season. She's great in everything she does. I mean, obviously she was amazing in Misery.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you gotta love Powers Booth. It sucks that he died, but Powers Booth, by far his best role was it's Ty, actually, now that I think about it. I was gonna say his best role was in the Brandon Lee movie. Oh geez, now I'm blanking out on the name of it.
The Crow?
No, not The Crow. The really God, I gotta look it up now. I feel I'm losing my movie cool card.
It's early in the morning. That's fine.
It's it was like the most kick-ass. Oh, Rapid Fire.
Yeah,
he was awesome in Rapid Fire, but he was also really good in it's way too early in the morning and I'm sick, so I'm blanking out. Deadwood on HBO.
Oh yeah, he was great in Deadwood. I loved him in Tombstone.
He was good in Tombstone too.
Chips or popcorn?
Chips.
Greg Ginn or Greg Graffin?
Graffin.
You a Bad Religion fan?
Yes.
Frank Gifford or Kathy Lee Gifford?
Oh, Kathy Lee.
Bacon-flavored ice cream or bacon-flavored soda?
Oh, the ice cream for sure. The soda's nasty.
Is it Bill Hicks or Sam Kinison?
Ooh, I really like Sam Kinison.
When I was younger, Sam Kinison was he was my favorite. I love Sam Kinison. Now, I love Bill Hicks because I think... He was just smart, maybe a little ahead of his time, but they're both a little bit hard to go back and watch. I don't know if you've tried to see them recently, but
yeah, it's a bit difficult, but that nostalgia factor there, just I was such a Sam Kinison fan.
Sam here. Pirates or aliens?
Aliens.
Aliens. Cormac McCarthy or Joe R. Lonsdale?
Ooh, probably Cormac McCarthy.
Do you have a favorite book?
Favorite of all time?
Favorite for Cormac McCarthy?
Gosh, I don't know. I've got to think back. I read so many books.
All right, how about The Road versus No Country for Old Men?
See, that's tough. I'd probably say The Road just because that book blew my mind the first time I read it. Because it's just the end is just so nuts. And the movie sucked.
I know I saw it. I just don't remember. I don't remember anything about it, which probably...
It was Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
And it started off great. I was like, oh my God, this is just like the book. This is amazing. And then they just went way off the rails and didn't have any of the cool stuff from the book.
Mm. The one thing, because the scene when they go into the house and they see those people in the basement, that scene haunts me to this day. That's just I've never recovered from reading that. Fireplace or fire pit?
Oh, fireplace.
1950 Mercury Monterey Coupe or 1968 Ford Mustang GT?
Oh, the Mustang for sure.
Mustang. And our final in the Elevate Lightning round, the old 97s or 13th floor elevators?
Oh, the old 97s rule.
Yeah, they're great. So that brings us up to the end here. Do you have any final thoughts? Is there anything that you would like to promote? Anything you would like to share with our audience here at the end?
I don't really have much to promote at this point. I'm just enjoying my... I've actually got 2 full months at home that I'm not traveling to any conferences, which hasn't happened to me in several years. So I can't even think. I mean, the next conference that I'm... know that I will be at internationally is... there's a conference in Slovenia in March, but that's a long way away.
Yeah. Have you been to Slovenia before?
I have not. It's going to be my first time. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I was there for the first time this summer. It was nice.
My wife's excited too. My wife's a big fan of the... her directive to me middle of this year was for next year, I needed to get myself into some conferences in countries that we haven't been to so that she could travel to more cool places.
I think that's a fantastic directive. I like that one. Thank you so very much for taking the time out this morning. I know it's very early where you are. Beginning of the day for you, end of the day for me. Thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate your time. And bye.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was fun.
You have been listening to Elevate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caribou, produced by Christian A. Dumais, music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elevate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elevate on Twitter at Elevate SEO and on Facebook at Elevate. Thanks for joining us and see you next time. We'll be right back.